Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for the Bible study. Thank you for your word that brings light to every heart. We're asking, O Lord, tonight that the words that come will not be empty in Jesus' name. That the word will not be lost on the preacher. The word will not be lost on all our leaders, our overseers, everywhere, our workers as well, in Jesus' name. We pray that the word will not be lost on the congregation of the Lord, here and everywhere, in Jesus' name. Let your word make a definite impact, a transforming effect in every life, mine and all the brethren, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That all the amen you can say. Amen. God bless you. You can sit down. Tonight we are coming to James chapter 2. And we're looking at the concluding verses of chapter 2, verse 20, all through to verse 26. Look at it, James chapter 2, reading from verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Look at verse 21. In verse 21 it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac a son upon the altar? Verse 22. In verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Verse 23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. In verse 24, it says, see, ye see then how that faith, how that works, by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. In verse 25, it says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Verse 26, the conclusion of the whole chapter, it tells us, and it says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works, faith without corresponding action, faith without visible result, effect, faith without character, faith without the behavior of a true believer, faith without fruit is dead also. We're looking at justification by faith and alone, by faith alone, and faithfulness afterwards. We're looking at this under three perspectives. We're looking at number one, Abraham's justification by faith alone without works. Number two, it's Abraham's justification of friendship by worthy work, a worthy work. Number three, abiding as the just through faithfulness to the word. Look at number one here. Now, as you look at the whole passage, the passage is talking about faith and it's talking about fruit. The passage is talking about faith and it's talking about the visible action, the visible behavior, the accompanying action that follows the faith. You see, there are people that have thought that James did not get it right. They felt that Paul, the apostle, got it right, because that's what they want to hear. That's what they think they want to know. They said Paul the apostle talking about salvation. And salvation is justification. Justification is redemption. Justification, redemption is reconciliation with God. And Paul the apostle set it right. And he said that justification is by faith without works. That we are justified, that we are saved, that we are redeemed, we are reconciled unto God by faith and faith alone, no works at all. But James is saying, do you see that Abraham was justified by faith through his works? He said, there you are. Do you see contradiction in the Bible? No, sir. There's no contradiction. Now, Paul the apostle was talking about the faith by which you enter into the kingdom of God. Everything you have done before does not come in now, because all our good works, all our righteousnesses, they are filthy rags, and they do not qualify us to enter into the kingdom of God. In the case of James, he was not talking about the faith to enter. He was talking about faith to express you are now in. And you are walking in the path of life, in the path of righteousness. They're talking about two different things. And actually, when you study Paul the apostle, he spoke about faith to enter. That one is faith without works. He also spoke about faith that expresses your life, your action. And he says that is the faith that walketh by love. That's now you are inside. You want to show that you are now a child of God and you have the faith. The fruit must be there. That's why he said, if any man be in Christ, you have entered by faith without works. Now you are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's the works after you have entered. All things have become, he said, in Titus chapter 3 verse 14. It says, Titus, tell them, emphasize it to them. That's Paul the apostle. Let ours also learn to maintain good works. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. It says, we're created unto good works. That means that there's no contradiction for you before you enter. You are thinking of, how do I enter? Do I bring my self-righteousness? Do I bring my works? Do I bring all my activities? It says, leave that behind. That will even disqualify you. But you come, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Faith without works. But now when you enter, when you come in, when you are now a child of God, your action will show the presence of faith in your life. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. God is not unrighteous to forget your good works which you have shown. Now we have good work, we have Christ-like behavior, we have fruit that follows the faith. And that's what James is talking about. Yes, as you enter, we talk about the justification we have by faith alone without works. He tells us in Romans chapter 4, reading from verse 1. Romans chapter 4, we're looking at verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, for if Abraham were justified by works, if Abraham entered into the kingdom by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, it says, for what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and he was counted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham entered into the kingdom. Abraham was reconciled with God. Abraham was justified by faith that he had in the Lord, in the coming Lord. That's why Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my days, and was glad and he rejoiced. That's my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without works, righteousness was imputed unto him. Now we divide this to three parts. Number one, we're looking at justification and reconciliation impossible with works in the flesh. The works we have in the flesh, the activities were done without the grace of God, the fruit we bear by the flesh alone, they are not reckoned with as we come to know the Lord for our salvation. Number two, it's justification with righteousness imputed without works, but by faith we come to the Lord. We want to be justified. Somebody comes to the law court. He's been guilty in his life. He's going to be judged, and he's going to bear the consequence of his evil deeds. And he comes, and what's he bringing? Argument? No. What's he bringing? You know, some of the good works I have done, greater than my evil works? No. He comes pleading, and then there is the advocate. There is the Messiah. There is the mediator that paid the whole price for him. And now he says, not of me, but because of him. That is what brings the justification without works, and then the righteousness of the Lord is imputed unto him. Look at number three. Number three is justification with regeneration imparted without worthiness and through faith. Not worthy of anything by himself. Not worthy without grace, not worthy without the love of God that so loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, the greatest of sinners, the worst and the vilest of sinners, whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Without personal worthiness, without the good that I have done, but through faith. That is justification that brings regeneration. Regeneration is a transformation within the heart. Regeneration is a total transformation. The faith that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ brings regeneration and brings transformation, and all that through faith. And if you're going to come into the kingdom, it's through faith. That's why you don't have to wait for anything. I'm waiting to clean up everything I've done in the past. Not necessary to enter. It's all by faith. I'm waiting to turn over a new leaf. Not necessary. It is by faith. I'm waiting to correct every bad thing I've done, every lie I've told. Not necessary. Come in. Because tomorrow might be too late. Look at that thief on the cross. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. What did he have? What could he do? Not water baptism, not available for him. He was on the cross. And not anything that he could do or done. And Jesus said, I say unto you today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. The man was justified by faith without works. Let's come to number one. Number one, we're looking at justification and reconciliation impossible with works in the flesh, the works of the flesh, everything we do, then that category, they do not merit anything in the presence of the Lord. We're looking at Romans chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Again, it says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, what does that mean, our father? Number one, naturally, the father of the Jews, the father of the Jews, they are the natural children. Number two, the father of all that believe in Christ, the father of the people that have done bad, they have done evil, they are Gentiles, they have been in darkness, they have been idolaters, they have been worshiping idols, and now they come. And how do they come? They come like Abraham came. They come because the Father God in heaven has invited them. And as they come in, they come nothing in their hands to bring. Simply to the cross, they are clinging. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it tells us, for if Abraham were justified by works, if Abraham could claim any marriage, if Abraham could claim anything that, look at me, I did this, that's why I was saved, I did this, that's why I was reconciled, I did this, that's why I was justified. If Abraham could, if he were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. That means he did nothing. Look at Joshua chapter 24. We're looking at verse 2. And look at the background of Abraham. And look at the life he lived before he entered at the entry point into the kingdom of God. It is by faith. It says, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of Jordan, of the flood, in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served gods, and they served idols. So Abraham did not have anything to boast about. I come because I'd been clean. I come because I was good. I come because I was righteous. Nothing like that. They served God. He came just as he was. And just like today, every sinner can come. Every sinner ought to come just as you are. Look at Isaiah chapter 51, and I'm reading from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, and ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit, look at that, from whence ye are digged. Look at verse 2. And it says in verse 2, look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah, that bear you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. He was dug from the pit and the hole of idolatry, of defilement, of degradation. Nothing in your hand you bring. We're looking at Romans chapter 3. And we're reading from verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. This is where we have all been. This is where we all came from. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous of all the descendants of Adam, of all the offspring of Adam. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's no one that can come before the Lord and say, here am I come on my own merit. I come with my own worthiness. No, nobody can say that, because you see, there is no reconciliation with God with the works of the flesh, with what we have done. There's no reconciliation, justification with God with anything we can produce out of our own strength. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. There is none that seeketh after God. Oh, you say, I know people that seek after God. No, they are not seeking after God. They're seeking after bread and butter. They're seeking after what he can give them. They're seeking after the things of this world. They're seeking after money. They're seeking after the influence. They're seeking after position. They're seeking after whatever. But in the real sense, there is none that seeketh after God. It tells us in verse 12. In verse 12, it says that they are all gone out of the way. Everyone. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So you cannot come to God. You want to enter into the kingdom of God, and then you look at what you think, that good thing you do, but you know there is a private agenda for that thing you did, and you want to come to God. Look at the good I did underneath, at the bottom of that good thing you thought you did, there was a depravity. And there was an evil disposition. There was a kind of thought, you are doing this so they will see you. You are doing this so you'll be recognized. You are doing this so that you'll be honored. You are doing this so that. Everything we have done is changed by the thoughts we have. It's changed by all the thoughts we have had. That's why it said there is none that has done good. No, not one. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their leaves. The poison of asps is under their leaves, not on top of their leaves, not on top of their tongue. There's something hidden there, that even the good they think they are doing, it injures people spiritually, because there is poison under their lips. How can we come to God then and say we're bringing something? God, look at the good thing I've done. Can I use it to reconcile myself to you? No. Can I use this to befriend you? No. They are poisonous. Look at verse 14. In verse 14, it says, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Look at verse 15. In verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Well, somebody might not kill, but Jesus said, if you are angry with your brother, you are a murderer. And how many times every human being, before we came into the kingdom, we indulged in anger, and the anger is interpreted by God as murdering. And if you had chance, you should have done something more terrible to that person you hate and to that person you are angry with. The feet are swift to shed blood. In verse 16, says destruction and misery are in their ways. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, it says, and the way of peace they have not known. The way of peace, somebody might be in church for how many years now? If the fellow does not have the heart of Christ, the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ, the nature of Christ, he'll not know the way of peace. He will, trouble this and trouble that, and he will not know how to be at peace in his heart, not know how to be at peace in his life. And there is peace in reconciliation. There is peace when you come to the Lord by faith and you are justified. But these ones, all people on earth, until you meet Christ, of all the people you know, there is at least one enemy. Of all the people they are working with, there is at least one enemy. Of all the people they interact with, there is at least a person they don't like to see, they don't like to hear, because they have not manifested the faith that enters into the kingdom. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, it says, there is no fear of God before their eyes. The people who are outside the kingdom, no matter, they might be religious, they might be whatever, there is no fear of God before their eyes. They never think, how does God look at this? How will God judge this? How will God appreciate this? They just act. They just do whatever they want to do, because there is no justification. There is no reconciliation with God. There is no regeneration. There's no transformation in their lives. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 19. In verse 19, it says, now we know that what things soever the Lord says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. All the world guilty before God. Therefore, there is no justification or reconciliation ever possible with the works of the flesh. We're looking at number two here. Number two, we're looking at justification with righteousness, imputed without the works, but by faith. It tells us in Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, we're looking at verse 3. It says, for what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That word counted to him for righteousness, what does it mean? Look at verse 22. In verse 22, it says, and therefore it was imputed. It was imputed to him for righteousness. That's how Abraham got the righteousness. It was imputed unto him. He came with nothing in his hand. He came with nothing to recommend him. He came with nothing to make him worthy. And he said, Lord, I believe. And it is that faith in the Lord, because of the coming Christ, is that faith that brought that justification and that imputation. Actually, that was in Genesis chapter 15. Look at verse 6. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. And he believed in the Lord. Far back in Genesis, he believed in the Lord from the beginning of the Bible. You know, people think that salvation, justification only came at the time when Jesus died on the cross. And there are people that will say, you know, all those people that followed Christ, even Peter, James, John, Matthew, all the others, they were not born again. Righteousness was not imputed unto them. They say, because Christ had not died. They said it's only after the cross that righteousness becomes imputed unto anyone. But look at this, far back in Genesis, and he believed in the Lord, and it was counted, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 8. Hebrews 11, reading from verse 8, by faith, Abraham, not by works, by faith, Abraham, not by trying to do my best, by faith, Abraham, not by turning over a new leaf. By faith, Abraham, not by going to a church, an assembly, a fellowship somewhere. By faith, Abraham, not by changing my dress. By faith, Abraham, not by joining a congregation of people and learning and acting like them, mimicking them. Not by copycat, copying them, how they dress, how they talk, how they move, how they bend, how they kneel. No, by faith, we bring nothing in our hand. We know we're not qualified. It's not a meritorious thing. We didn't merit anything. But by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, it says that he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went, by faith. And that's how we come to the Lord today. We don't know anything. The past does not qualify us. The present does not make us merit anything, but we come because he has called me. He called you. He's come to call everyone to repentance. So everything in the past, everything in the present, you leave and then you come unto the Lord. We're looking at number three here. Number three is justification with regeneration, imparted without worthiness and through faith. Justification with regeneration, now imparted. One word, imputed. The other word, imparted. When we couldn't pay for anything we've done, Christ has paid it all. And because he's paid it all, we believe in him. As we believe in him, he imputes his righteousness on us. The righteousness we did not have, he had that righteousness. And he said, give me your sin and I give you my righteousness. And we accepted the deal. We gave him our sin and he gave us his righteousness. That's imputation. But it doesn't leave us like that. Imputation, that belongs to him, coming to us. Impartation, now he imparts that righteousness. He touches our nature. He touches our heart. He touches our spirit. And now he imparts that unto us. He changes our nature and he gives us the divine nature. And because of that impartation, now we can live the way he wants us to live. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Impartation. We're told in Titus chapter 3. And I'm reading here from verse 5. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works, the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Look at that. He saved us. Mercy, grace, love. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. He washed us. He took the defilement away. He washed our nature. He washed our hearts. He washed what we have been. And that depravity does not continue in us. He washed us. It says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That the change that came. We're looking at Romans chapter 5. And we're reading from verse 18. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. It says, wherefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all to condemnation. Everything we did brought condemnation. Even when we did what was superficially good, the Spirit of God said in our heart, yes, you did something good, superficially good, but what was your intention? Are you not throwing down water to get so that you can go on wet ground? Are you not doing that because you're expecting this? If everybody around was blind, if everybody around you couldn't see the good thing you are supposedly doing, will you see that? Will you do that? If the people who can say well done, if there's nobody to say well done, if there's nobody to congratulate you, if there's nobody to praise you, would you have done that? You would not. Now, that means then condemnation came upon all. But now it says that the righteousness of one, the free gift he has, came upon all men unto justification of life. Because Christ died, he gave up his righteousness, so that you can receive that righteousness. Look at verse 19 there. In verse 19, it says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, of Christ, shall many be made righteous. Many made righteous. Romans chapter 6, we're looking at verse 18. In Romans chapter 6, verse 18, it says, being then made free. Made free. It's somebody that made us free. It's Christ that made us free. It is his work on the cross that made us free. You can't do that yourself. You can't make that for yourself. If you tried by yourself, you don't look to Calvary. If you tried by yourself, you don't look to Christ, you will still be as dirty as you were. But be made free from sin. He became the servants of righteousness. He became the servants of righteousness. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, it tells us, but now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. Ye have your fruit unto holiness. Fruit does not come except we plant the seed. We plant the seed. The seed must be planted. It must germinate. It brings up the tree, and then the fruit will grow. The seed of the word has to be planted in our heart before we can bring forth the fruit of holiness. Holiness, nobody can have that holiness. Somebody might have a kind of superficial holiness, a kind of pharisaic holiness, externally holy but inwardly corrupt, inwardly evil, inwardly with dead men's bones, inwardly hypocritical. But it's when the seed of the word is planted in our heart, and when the seed of the woman enters in our heart, that as it lives in us, then the fruit of holiness will grow and will show and be evident. It tells us there then, but now, being made free from sin, and become the servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Without holiness, you're not going to live eternally with God. He is holy. And because he's holy, he lives in a holy place, heaven. and is surrounded by holy angels, and the redeemed of the Lord who have gone before us, they are also holy. And for you to get to heaven, you must not have that holiness, and you cannot have the holiness anywhere except you come to the Lord by faith, and you are justified by faith, and he imputes the righteousness of Christ upon you and imparts unto you the holiness which is acceptable to God, for you to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We're coming to point number two. Point number two, we're looking at Abraham's justification of friendship by the worthy, a worthy work. Now we're talking about something else, about Abraham. Abraham had the faith without works. Now, Abraham also had the faith with works. That's why God said, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. I accepted you into the kingdom, accepted you to enter without works. You didn't walk right, but accepted you and imputed unto you righteousness. Now you have entered. Now you have come into the kingdom. You know what you have to do now? You have to walk before me and be thou perfect. And that one is a continuous thing. The other faith without works is an instantaneous thing. Enter, instantaneous. Take the step of faith and enter. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Enter. There's nothing to waste time about. You're not trying to dig anything. You're not trying to do anything. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the Philippian jailer entered in without works. But now it took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their wounds. He had entered now, and he washed their wounds. He had entered now, and he gave them meal in his own house. That is, you have entered. Now show the evidence of that faith by what you do. Look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down, make haste, for I must abide in thy house today. That one, he can come down, and the Lord will abide in his house today by faith, not by works. After coming in, as he came down, he said, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. He didn't have to do that to enter in, but the stinginess and the craftiness and everything taken away now by entering in. He has to show the evidence that I have entered in. And also, he says, if I have taken anything by false accusation from anyone, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. His heart was now changed. An impartation has now been given. The stinginess of the past is now gone, because he has entered in now. And Abraham now became a friend of God because of the worthy work. And look at James chapter 2, verse 20. It says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Somebody is crying out loud, I'm saved, I'm saved. No change of life. I'm saved, I'm saved. There's no clean character. I'm saved, I'm saved. There is nothing to show for it. He said, the man is vain because his manners are vain. The man is vain because his profession is vain. The man is vain because his action, his attitude is vain. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Look at verse 21. In verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Oh, somebody says, this one I don't understand. Justified by faith, Romans chapter 4. And here in James, justified by works. Let me explain. Justified by faith, Genesis chapter 15, before he had any child. Isaac had not been born, and the Lord called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and he didn't know where he was going. And the Lord said, come out. Like God says, come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord. And he came out, and was justified by faith. After many years, after chapter 15 of Genesis, we come to chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 17, chapter 18, chapter 19, chapter 20, chapter 21. Isaac was born, and Isaac was growing. Chapter 22, Isaac had grown to the point he could ask the question, my father, here is the wood, and here is fire. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Many years between chapter 15 of Genesis and chapter 22. But now God was asking for another thing. What was he asking for? To find out whether Abraham loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. Whether Abraham loved God above Isaac. Whether Abraham actually would behave like a friend of God. He had become a friend of God. And now God was asking his friend, and was saying, offer him to me on the altar, on the mountain that I will show you. And he obeyed God. Justification by works. After justification by faith. And that's what happened here. That Abraham's justification of friendship, to justify the friendship, to justify, you say you are my friend. Can you do anything and everything I command you? Can you give me back what I have given you? Yes, I will. That's the worthy work. We're looking at three things here. Number one, we're looking at the faith and friendship of the justified Abraham. Justified already by faith. And now he became a friend of God. Justify that friendship. Number two, the faith and faithfulness of justified appointees. The Lord has appointed. And because the Lord has appointed, like he appointed Abraham to be the father of many nations, the faithfulness he requires after that appointment. Number three, the faith and fellowship of justified ambassadors. Look at number one. Number one, we're looking at the faith and friendship of the justified Abraham. We're told in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we're looking at verse 22. In verse 22, it says, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works he was, by works was the faith made perfect. Verse 23, in verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. When he was in the hall of the Chaldees, he was not a friend of God. When he was with his father Nahor, he was not a friend of God. Before he came out and believed on the Lord, he was not a friend of God, but he had faith in God. After that, he was a friend of God, and now he justified the friendship. Isaiah chapter 41, reading from verse 8. Isaiah 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, the offspring of Abraham, my friend. God said, he's my friend. And a friend of God that could offer his only son unto God, that's a real friend. We're looking at Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Exodus chapter 33, and from verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And the Lord spake face to face. That's what he did with Abraham. Abraham, do you know I have something to do in Sodom? I'll tell you. Their sin has come up to me, up to the heavens, and I'm going to destroy them. But I can't do anything without telling you, a friend of God. And Abraham said, Lord, can we talk about it, friend to friend? What if you see 50 righteous people there? Will you still destroy them? No, I will not. Hold on, God, don't go yet. What if you see 40 people there, 30 people there, 20 people there, 10 people there? I will not destroy them for the 10. He spoke to Abraham like he spoke to Moses, face to face, as a man spoke to his friend. Now, what made him to have that is faith with a worthy work. Faith with a worthy work. It tells us in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're reading from verse 13. It says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. God the Father had a friend, Abraham. God the Son has many friends, the disciples and the believers today. Then in verse 14, it tells us, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. The justification of the friendship we have with the Lord is obedience. We are his friends, and he says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And we become meek by grace, by the grace of God. We don't have that meekness before entering in. Now we have entered in, and we're the friends of Jesus, and we bring meekness, gentleness, humility, lowliness into our hearts to justify our friendship with him. It says, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I have commanded you. Here we are, we bring a gift to the altar, and we remember that somebody has ought against us. We don't say, that's his business, that's his cup of tea, he has something against me, don't mind him. No, it says, the Lord says, leave your gift at the altar and go reconcile with him and come back and offer your gift. We don't have to do that to get salvation, but now we're saved, we're justified. justified by faith without works. But now we are friends of Christ. And because we are friends of Christ, we don't just live a life, you know, over there. We step on that person's toe. We step on that person's mind. We step on that person's ear. We step on that person's eyes. And then, if he minds that, that's his business. No, because we're friends of God, we do what Christ says, because now we're justifying our friendship with him. It tells us in verse 15, it says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have I made known unto you. Like the Father made known unto Abraham because he's his friend, everything he wanted to do in Sodom, he said, we're now his friend. And because of that, he does not leave us in darkness. He wants to do this, and he says he has told us everything he wants to do. Why? For us to justify our friendship with him. I cannot go about now saying, well, I walk by faith without works, faith without works, faith without works. No, it's not faith with your work. It's not faith with your worthy work. It's not faith with your worthy action, with your worthy behavior. Faith and friendship of the justified Abraham. We're looking at number two here. It's faith and faithfulness of justified appointees. We're looking at James chapter 2, reading from verse 24. You see then how that by works, by action, by behavior, by sacrifice, a man is justified not by faith only. It's combining two sides of justification here. There's the justification at the entry point. There's the justification for expression. Expression of his friendship with God. Expression of his faithfulness to God. Expression of his present abiding faithfulness unto God. The justification that comes by faith at the beginning, the justification that comes by the expression of faithfulness while you are walking with the Lord. It tells us in James chapter 2, reading from verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified, a believer is justified, a friend of God is justified. You see then how that a person that is walking in the perfection that God requires is justified not by faith only. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. And we're reading here from verse 7. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 7. Thou art the Lord, the God, who did choose Abraham and brought him forth out of all of the Chaldeans and gavest him the name of Abraham. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, and foundest his heart faithful. Found his heart faithful. Found his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Girgashites to give it, I say, to his seed, and has performed thy words. For thou art righteous. Look at verse 9. in verse 9, still talking about Abraham. And it says, and did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardest the cry by the Red Sea. It tells us that for Abraham, God fulfilled his word. And God, even after he had died, God continued to fulfill his word to his descendants because he found him faithful. Think about us believers today in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, reading here from verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, reading from verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It's required in you, it's required of me, that a man, that a woman, that a believer, that a friend of Christ be found faithful. It tells us in verse 16 of that same chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. In verse 17 affirms, for this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord. I'm faithful in the Lord. The people will be recognized as the followers of Christ. The people will be entrusted with something God is doing. That the people who are faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. It tells us in Galatians chapter 4, reading from verse 7. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, look at Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, we're looking at verse 7. Colossians now chapter 4. And in verse 7, it says, and my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister. A faithful minister. The people we can trust today, the people we can bring along, like Paul brought this man along, they're the people who are faithful. They're faithful in little things, they're faithful in big things, they're faithful to the word, they're faithful to the way of the Lord. And it says, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Look at verse 17. In verse 17, it tells us, it says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, that you have faithfulness, and that you remain faithful through thick and thin. In the dry season, in the rainy season, when the weather is conducive, when the weather is contrary, when you feel happy, when you feel unhappy, when you're sad, when you are glad, faithfulness unto the Lord. We're looking at number two here. Number two here is the faith and fellowship of justified ambassadors. The faith and the fellowship of justified ambassadors. It tells us in James chapter 2, reading from verse 25, it says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? Hold on. You remember we've been talking about justification by faith and justification by works. First, justification by faith. When she saw those spies that came from the people of Israel, she recognized and she said, we have heard what the Lord had done in Egypt. Now you crossed the Red Sea, and what you did to those unbelieving kings, and our hearts had no strength, and all our people are afraid because of you. And then she said, this is her faith. She said, we know the Lord had given you the land, and also pleaded, give me chance and give me a promise that you will not destroy me when you come, and save me and save my household. Receiving them like that, protecting them like that, confessing that God truly had given them the land. And I want to be part of the people, the covenant people of God. That's justification by faith. But now, the next thing, having known that God had given them the land, and she wasn't going to fight against them, she wasn't going to report them to the king, she wasn't going to expose them to danger, and she protected them, that the justification by works. And that's what he's saying here. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? This was justified. And now she wanted to be part of the children of Israel. That's the fellowship, I'm saved by faith, but I want to retain the fellowship with the people of God. And now we need that kind of fellowship. We're told in 1 John chapter 1, we're reading from verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Fellowship with us. And how do we maintain that fellowship? By continuing with the doctrine, by continuing with the demand, by continuing with the desires of the Lord and the desire of the assembly. It says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 42. In verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Fellowship. You see, we have faith in the Lord, we enter in. And to stay in, we maintain that faith with the fellowship we have with the people of God. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We're coming now to point number three. Point number three, we're looking at abiding as the just through faithfulness to the Lord. Faithfulness to the Lord. We enter in. We have come in, and now want to abide as the just people, just justified, and that in faithfulness to the word. In Habakkuk chapter 2, reading from verse 4, Habakkuk chapter 2, and we're looking at verse 4. Behold, a soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. There are people that say that the Old Testament people did not have faith. Of course, they had faith. Moses had faith in God. Abraham had faith in God. Joshua had faith in God. David had faith in God. And he trusted the Lord. Isaiah had faith in God. He even said that the Gentiles will put their trust, their faith in you. And it says over here, Old Testament, the just shall live by his faith. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 17. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it tells us, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as It is written, the just shall live by faith. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Over and over and over, the just shall live by faith. We enter in by faith. We continue to walk in the narrow path, in the highway of holiness, by faith. And then we end up by faith. These all died in faith. By faith. Faith all the way through. We're looking at three things here. Number one, we're looking at the propitiation for the justified by faith in his worthiness. Number two, the perseverance of the justified in faithfulness to the word. Faithfulness to the word. Number three, the path of the just by faith in the word. Look at number one. Number one is the propitiation for the justified by faith in his worthiness. Romans chapter 3. Reading from verse 23. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All people need this faith to be cleansed, to be saved, to be redeemed, to be justified, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a covering, the cleansing and the pardoning of their sin, a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of the sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. In verse 26, it assures us to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. A pardon comes now by believing on Jesus. Propitiation, covering, cleansing comes by believing on Jesus. The mercy of God, the grace of God now coming by the believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us in 1 John chapter 2, reading from verse 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, it says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, in the whole wide world. Anyone going to have justification, redemption, reconciliation now must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at number two here. Number two is the perseverance of the justified in faithfulness to the word. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're reading from verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. We enter into the kingdom by faith, and we now continue to walk and live by faith. It says now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, If any man says, well, the faith I had at the beginning, that's enough. I cannot go away from the narrow way and go to the broad way, and I'm still fine. No, you are not fine, because if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39, in verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. They were saved before. They entered in by faith before. And now they depart from the way of righteousness. They depart from the highway of holiness. And you say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It matters a lot. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You will not draw back. I will not draw back. Look at Matthew chapter 24, and we're reading from verse 12. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In verse 13, it says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You will endure unto the end. Look at number three here. Number three here, we're looking at the path of the just by faith in the word. The path of the just, that the just is following. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. And the path of the just is as the shining light. The path of the just is as the shining light. It's like you wake up in the morning and it's early and the light has just come. It's light, but it's not so bright. Then as the day goes on, it becomes brighter and brighter until the noontime. That is the brightest. That's the way our lives ought to be. We're walking by faith. We're walking by faithfulness. We're walking in fellowship. And we're walking in the real understanding of focus on the word of God. And the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more your life. Will shine more and more. Your light will shine more and more. Your faith will shine more and more. And your dedication to God, your consecration to God will shine more and more. Not somebody that you enter in now by faith, and then before a month, before a year, before 10 years, they're already drawing back and they're not shining as they were shining 10 years ago. No, it says if you're a just person, if you're a justified person, it says the path of the righteous will be shining more and more until the perfect day. Until the perfect day. You've got grace, God will give you more grace. You've got strength, God will give you more strength. You have faith in the Lord, faithfulness in the Lord, and your faith and faithfulness will increase in Jesus' name. My faith will increase. My faithfulness will increase. The sufficient grace of God will increase in my life. The sufficient grace of God. Say that. The sufficient grace of God will increase in my life. The Lord confirm that in Jesus' name. Let's rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer. What we have heard today, the faith we ought to have, the justification we have, the life of righteousness we have. Have you entered by faith? Are you expressing your faith? Are you expressing your justification by faith? And are you shining more and more, more and more? Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer.